Blog Talk Radio.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, shalom, shalom. It's Thursday night. This is Late Night in the Word, and this is Olive Branch Ministries from Acworth, Georgia, the pollen capital of the universe. Amen. This is Pastor Yave, Avery Irvin.
Shalom, shalom.
And Robert Rodriguez.
Shalom.
In the studios here in Acworth. And we are green with Powder City. If you know anything
about leaven free,
amen. If you know anything about Atlanta and Georgia in general, you know it is time for pollen. So we are up to our eyeballs in it, praying for a storm to blow tomorrow. And we want to say Shabbat Shalom early. Looking forward to that this weekend. And also happy Passover and unleavened bread. We are in the middle of that this week, and what a time. I have lots of things moving around in me tonight. We've been on a journey on this program, and I have to be honest tonight. We've been on a journey to discover the definition of salvation and what happens to you when you get saved. And why you're saved. And this week I discovered that I have no idea what it means to be saved. And what happens to you when it gets saved. And hopefully I'll be able to express that a little bit, why that is on my mind. I think the chief reason is, unless you're willing to get to know Paul or who he really is, salvation stays in the realm of theology. And even our understanding of Romans, and we've gone to Romans chapter 6 a lot, Romans chapter 7 a lot, even our understanding of Paul in those chapters is somewhat skewed, because the problem that we have is, we have been very seriously trained to read the Bible personal way, from an individual's point of view. And we are very much encouraged in our modern era to interpret the scriptures as we read it. And our interpretations are from an individualistic point of view. And definitely from a Western point of view, and most certainly from an American point of view. And if you are American, you have something sewn into your psyche, and that's called the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. We have a culture constantly saying to us, if it feels good, do it. Another question, what are you going to be when you grow up? It's all about self-definition, self-realization, self-actualization, self-awareness. Who are you? Why are you individually focused constantly? I believe that this individuality is destroying us. And it's definitely destroying our ability to read the scriptures and understand Paul. There is a powerful reality that Pastor Weintraub has started to speak about. We were discussing it somewhat on Tuesday night. He started to interject it. I think that there is a lot coming in this area. And I really believe that it's coming because unless the body of Christ, the community that is around the gospel, unless it starts to come together as a community, the individuals are going to be lost. And that's a statement and a half. I understand that, but I think the essence of what God did with Israel in Egypt is perhaps a good visual. There was a nation, and it was filled with people who had individual focus, necessities of the body and of the mind and the soul, and opinionations and complaints, ways of life. And by the time the Lord gets Israel to the Jordan River, all you have is a nation. After Jericho, one event takes place. What happened at Jericho?
Jericho, they obeyed God and the walls came down.
And then what happened?
God took the city.
And then what happened?
And then what happened? Then it was found out. Well,
yeah.
they went to
Keep
war.
Going.
They went to war against Ai, and they got routed.
And why?
So they had to inquire why. And when
did they find out?
They found out that someone violated. Some individual.
An individual caused the entire nation of Israel to lose a battle to something like 3,000 people. One person. One person created anger in the Lord. And that created a problem for which the Lord was willing to say to Israel, you can just stay put right there and not move. Now they had to go through every single tribe by tribe, every single family in that tribe that was picked, every single person in the family until they arrived at this one man. And then that man and all of his family and every ounce of his possessions was stoned and burnt. One person. And unfortunately, because we have an opinion about the Old Testament that it has no value in the modern age because of the anti-Semitism that roams around in theological circles and the replacement theology that has entered into Christians' minds, we don't learn from our brothers, which is who Israel is. They are our brother, here to train us younger siblings in the ways of walking with God. And if you can't look back and learn from them, what hope do we have? They had one person who decided to walk contrary to the community, and because of that, the entire community was put in lockdown by God. And they could not go forward until that individual had been addressed and the evil that had been brought into the camp had been dealt with. We're looking at a man in Romans, and this man, his name is Paul, and this man used to be named Saul, and he was a rabbi, and he was a Pharisee. And therefore, he was highly trained in the Old Testament scriptures, in the Torah. And the Torah is the center of the universe of Israel. The Torah is the black hole, as it were. Not as a destructive force, but as the engine that causes the universe of Israel to circle. The Torah, the life of the Torah, John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's read that.
Not far away from there.
John chapter 1, verse 14. What does it say?
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Here's the thing. You're reading another Jewish man, and I'm going to start to say it this way because for me, I need to get it into my head and into my heart and into my soul, and I think everyone listening to this program needs the same thing. John is Jewish. Let's package that up and keep that in front of our face. He's Jewish. He grew up Jewish. He grew up in a Torah observant home. Paul grew up in a Torah observant environment and a community that was Torah oriented. John, Torah oriented.
Peter,
Torah oriented. In families that were Torah-oriented, synagogue-focused. John the Baptist, Torah-oriented, came from a group called the Essenes, and they lived in the hillside above the Dead Sea. This group is responsible for the Dead Sea Scrolls. They wrote down the scrolls and packaged them up and put them in jars. And they lasted 2,000 years.
It's amazing.
That's God's providence and his protection of his word. So that in the modern era, the skeptics and the critics and the blasphemers would have to shut their mouths. Now, this same group of people is who you read in the New Testament. And they're traveling or in the community of Torah life around people like David and Samuel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and the people of Genesis and the people of Exodus, Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua. They're in and around these people, Esther and Ruth. Over and over, I could list them off. You know them if you read the scriptures. This is their life. These are their stories. The people that you're reading in the New Testament, these are the people that they read about, they studied. When you go to Deuteronomy 6 and God is telling the people of Israel, I want you, when you stand up in your house in the morning, I want you to rehearse Torah with your children. And then when you sit down in the day and you walk about in the cities and the towns, or do you do your work in the field, I want you to rehearse Torah. They're moving with these people. David, Jonathan, Hezekiah, Josiah, person after person. These are all Old Testament names. They're all Israelites. They're all Torah people, covenant people. Well, the problem that I find is so few of us truly, even in the Hebraic community, even in Messianic communities, it's difficult to understand the body of people, the community of faith in that day, 2,000 years ago, because that was Israel and Jewish people and the people of the nations relating around Torah and the synagogue and the expectations of a Messiah. And it was a different life, a different history, a different understanding, a different perspective. If you're American, just imagine trying to understand Middle East life today, let alone 2,000 years ago. And then we sit down in front of the New Testament and we think we know Paul and what he's really saying. When Paul says the word salvation, what did that word mean for him, not me? How did he see salvation? If Jesus is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, we know what that means in English from a Western American point of view. What did that really mean to Israelites, to Jesus, the Jewish man from Galilee, who was the king of Israel, living in a family, in a community with an expectation of his arrival, though they didn't recognize him? But the family wasn't blind to the king. They were a family of David. Sometimes we miss that. Jesus' brothers, they were all of the line of David as well. The community they lived in Bethlehem, understood the line of the king as well. This was not...
They knew their roots all the way back to Ruth.
They did.
And maybe even further than that.
And we miss that. We miss a lot of things.
We do.
We mentioned Passover, and so if you're listening to this program and you've heard Passover, we relate to Passover a particular way. It's from an American point of view. If you happen to have grown up in a Jewish community, which, and I would say a Jewish Orthodox community, you have a much better frame of reference to relate to that with. But if you grew up in a Gentile church or even in a churchless family, how do you relate to a Jewish book, a book that's Israelite, that's Hebrew, written by Hebrews and Israelites who on a daily basis are functioning in that community reality? That's a difficulty.
Yeah, I think we need to have a desire for it. And we can't even explain that. You were saying we can't explain salvation. We can't explain why we have a desire. You know, some of us, we just are drawn to Israel. And then some aren't. A lot of American Christianity isn't.
So
we like the traditions of America.
Here's a thing, and I think you're saying a good word.
When I say we, I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, we don't. And the word tradition is a good word, I think. Because I think we've allowed ourselves to have walking with God defined by those traditions. And that's what I want to challenge tonight. If I have to completely start over teaching Romans chapter 6, I will.
You mentioned three things. You know, in Hebrew, it's derech, chayim, and emet. And not in the same order. But, you know, just if you have them in Hebrew, you can't know anything about them, and you have to go find out, what do these words mean? Rather than being familiar with what you think they mean.
Right. It's an amazing shift. I was listening to Pastor tonight, and he said, you know what you have to do? You have to decide that you want to get to know Paul. Not based on your theological idea, but you have to desire to get to know Paul for who Paul really is, which means you got to let him talk. You got to let him express himself. You've got to let him reveal what's been revealed to him, why he's revealing it. Why does Paul talk about we more than I?
Paul has a body vision.
Paul has a community vision, and he uses body as a type and a figure of community. Because
it's Hebrew call ada.
Right.
Witnessing so body.
He's seeing
congregation.
He's seeing lots of people in a connectedness with the Messiah and the Holy Spirit, and a way to explain that is to reference a body, because the body is a lot of parts and great vitality and distinction and all kinds of specificity, but it's still you don't have a body if you separate the parts. It's just a bunch of parts, and the blood leaks out and it all dies and turns back to dust. There has to be a wholeness to all the parts.
Yes. Paul has a vision to make the body look like Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's looking at the wedding pronouncement in Genesis. This flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. And so he refers to the body as the body of Christ. The body is the body of Christ.
But keep in mind, he knows this word Israel. And Israel is...
He doesn't see the body or teach the body separate from Israel.
He doesn't.
Anyway.
He doesn't.
Well, I think it's important to note that, you know, he's talking to an audience that definitely did not have the same understanding as his culture, and he did. So he's trying to bring them in.
And who is that culture?
That Greek culture.
That Greek culture.
So he's trying to bring them in to that same understanding so that they can get it, because otherwise they wouldn't. He understood clearly that they would miss it if they didn't have a better understanding of the culture and of the traditions and why they had the traditions that they had. And
so we get confused by Paul, because we don't understand who he's really talking to. Because you don't go into the Old Testament and see somebody teaching about body, because they don't have to.
Right.
Because it's all Israelites, and they know community.
Right.
Well, the Greeks don't know community in the Israelite way. So he's going to borrow imagery.
And he was the right man for the job, because he was educated, and he understood the differences in the cultures. He's
Amen.
The right man for the job.
Amen.
I knew that.
I guess I'll throw this out. In the book of Romans, because this, I just need to say this just to correct some of the direction, because I've received some rebukes that are really good this week in terms of how I'm approaching Romans. And in Romans, Paul is on a mission to build this community. And let's just go to Romans 6, and then I'm going to go probably a little bit different direction than you might expect, because I want to kind of reference back to Achan and his activities in Israel, and right there at Jericho. What's the first verse of chapter 6 say?
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
We. No eyes. No eyes in the second verse either. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, the tendency in theology is to create a singular plural. Well, he's talking to all of us individuals in the plurality of the body. No, he's not. Just like I'm not talking to Avery's left arm elbow blood cell. I'm talking to Avery. Paul is not talking to Harry and Sally and Billy and Johnny and Jimmy and Ricky and Bobby. Paul is talking to the manifested reality of Jesus called the Kohal Adah, the witnessing body, the revelation of the continuation of God's work with Israel. That spiritual part of them that where the Holy Spirit had been poured out manifestation of Joel 2:28, fulfilling the promises of the Old Testament. This is not something new. And I want to say that to unbelieving Jewish people. Paul is not creating a New Testament and a new religion. He is explaining what happened as a result of God fulfilling his promises to Israel, because many of the people didn't understand. As this gospel started to move outside of Israel, the influx of Gentiles and Romans and Greeks trying to comprehend a community they already did not understand. And he's having to frame it for them so they can come in and function in it. It's difficult.
And he uses that word, Christ Jesus, anointed salvation. Probably more as a verb than a proper name.
Explain that.
Because that's what the two words. I think we have to look at what was messianic expectation. For the Jews, it was deliverance from Rome. And for the Gentiles, I believe it's ultimately having an identity and having a destiny. And now it's come. That's the good news. It's the good news of God. The Messiah that people have waited for has now come. He came as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew. He fulfilled his role. He explains that in John 14. He goes to the cross and redeems humanity, Jew and Gentile. And now, so I was witnessing one time to a teenage Jewish girl who goes to a Reform synagogue. And she said, well, I think we're all supposed to be Messiah. You know, and she's right. But the gospel and Paul's teaching is how we were made right. And now what our responsibility is as Messiah.
Let's read.
Not as an individual, but as a unit.
Let's read the next two verses.
As Israel.
Let's read the next two verses, 3 and 4. And we're about to go off air from Blog Talk Radio, so join us at www.olivebranchonline.org. Our phone number, was 631-533-4099. You can give us a call. We'd love to put you on the air, ask a question, let us know what's on your heart, pray for you. Just call 631-533-4099.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I explained to someone earlier that you would probably give the phone number as soon as we got started and he could call right in. And so he's been waiting.
Oh, really?
So go ahead and call now.
Well, wait another minute or so. Yeah. So Blog Talk is gone and then the phone will be available. We have to call into Blog Talk. So it's almost over. About 10 seconds.
Can I go back?
Call in a minute.
Start at verse 1 and go all the way through 3?
Yeah, go ahead.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid.